The first one comes from James chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, which is found on page 1881 in your pew Bible. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here is a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But if you have insulted the poor, it is not the rich who are exploiting you. Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. The second reading comes from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37, and that's found on page 1564 in your pew Bible. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child laying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee into the region of Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hands on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be open." At this, the man's ears were open, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He had done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bob.
Let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you for how you provide for each and every one of us. And as we come before you today, we ask that we may hear you to say to each and every one of us the same word that you spoke to the deaf and mute man. Ephphatha, help us to be opened to your word, to the presence of your spirit today. For we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you ever heard that term before? Ephphatha. How many think I was stuttering?
Yes.
Al was over, and I told him what I was going to talk about today, and he says, I think you stuttered. I didn't stutter, Al. That's the way it's spelled. But as I thought about that, I got thinking, what's going to be the best way to do this? And I'm in my study, and I'm studying this, and I write out my sermon so it gets sent out, and I'm thinking, all right, so how do we really make this come to life? And I got to thinking about a song I'd written years ago. It was about new life, and it's time to open doors and close the doors behind us sometimes. So I thought this morning we need to start off with that song to help us get in the right frame of mind. So if you'll bear with me for a minute. Wow. I think we better switch mics. Got to get my fingers to work first, though. Wow. Get the cramps out. Maybe. Opening doors, closing doors, trying to stay in style. Are we living a world? Corners and curves, confused most of the while. We walk in a daze, we think half crazy, we're living a maze. Tossing and turning and trying to feel our way. Now you're running from this, running from that, going blind most of the time. Are your feelings gone? Meaning's gone, nothing seems worth your time. You walk in a daze, you think half crazy, you live in a maze. Tossing and turning and trying to feel your way. Well, you know hope is here, love is here. Through Jesus the Son, yes, all's not lost. He died on a cross so we can live on. For he's opened his arms to carry us on to heaven beyond. Come on, tossing or turning or trying to feel your way. Come on, make a new start. Open your heart. Let him come in, for he'll cleanse your soul and make you whole. Asking you forgive. You won't walk in a maze or think half crazy. You'll live a maze. For he'll open your mind and give you new life today. Get that new life today. Let's talk a little bit. When I got thinking about these two different stories about the healing of the deaf man and the healing of this little daughter, this little girl, I got thinking, what is this all about? Why did Mark put these in the Gospels? I mean, it's hard to take when you first read the reading about this Phoenician woman and what Jesus says to her. Doesn't he basically call her a dog? Begin with, isn't that hard to take? Seems like Jesus is kind of an insensitive jerk, isn't he?
But yet, we see this woman. She's pretty cool about it. She's courageous. Reminded me kind of a Bonnie. She's not afraid to speak to anybody about anything. Doesn't really matter. As long as she thinks she's right. Or to right or wrong. This Phoenician woman, so she comes up and she talks to Jesus. And you think about it, she's nothing but other than a loving mom who wants to really help her daughter. And she's not to be turned away. Then Mark gives us a second story. It's a story about a deaf mute man. I say he's mute. He can speak, but it doesn't make any sense because he can't hear anything, can't make any logic out of it. So he's just trying to, Anyway, it tells us he can hardly speak. But what's interesting, and a lot of times we miss, is like people brought him. Well, they brought him just like the Jews did, but they're not in Jewish countries anymore. They're in the Gentile area. They went to the vicinity of Tyre. And here we are, these bold people, acting Greeks. They're acting like Jews. Well, this could get them in big trouble. But they're going to bring their buddy because they heard about this Jesus that threw the demon out of this girl. But Jesus asked them not to tell them he was there, but they still brought him. Gossip spreads fast, don't it? Anyway, so they bring this deaf mute man to Jesus. And they had to be real bold about this. Because here they are, Greeks. They're Roman citizens. They're acting like Jews. They're acting like dogs. If the Jewish term would be for them. Think about this now. We got these non-Jewish people acting like Jews, and they're bringing him. And Jesus, he doesn't want any part of this. He left the vicinity of Galilee pretty much to take a vacation. He was sick of all the people following him. He just fed 5,000 people, and everywhere he was going, the crowds were following. They'd bring more sick. They're always wanting. They're always needing. But he needed some time to get away to teach his disciples, so he left Galilee and went to Gentile territory. So why did he do that? Well, I looked it up in a bunch of commentators, and one of the reasons was, so he thought, well, Jesus needed some time off, and so he was going to take his disciples, and maybe he was going to teach them on their journey, because they took kind of a long way around. If you read the path they took in 7, which way did it say they went here? Wherever we started here. So Jesus left this place, and he says so. And when they went, he went through Tyre and then Sidon and then down to the Sea of Galilee into the region of the Decapolis. So he kind of took a roundabout route to get back to home. And this was the only time recorded in Scripture that Jesus and his disciples actually left Galilee, actually went into Gentile territory. So why did he do that? Maybe he was trying to, he thought he could get some time to teach his disciples. Or some commentators say, well, Jesus was just having a bad day. You know, everybody has a bad day. Who here hasn't had a bad day? I don't see any hands. Who's had lots of bad days? Oh, yeah, we all had a bad day. So maybe this is a good theory. Maybe Jesus was having a bad day. He did become human, right? But I had a little problem. I don't think Jesus ever had a bad day when he was here. So then I read some commentators and I thought, well, actually this was just a learning experience for Jesus. You know, Scriptures tells us that when he was a child, he learned and grew. Well, how did Jesus learn? How did he grow? Maybe he got in this Gentile territory. Maybe he knew he had to go there just to learn how to grow. But I don't think that was a real lesson either. I have a tendency to think that he went there to teach his disciples about accepting others, how to love other people, no matter what their race was, whether they're Greeks or Jews,
No matter what geography they're, where geographic area they're at, he taught, wanted to teach them how to love one another, that racism shouldn't get involved, sexuality shouldn't get involved. That's why he went here. And he put them together. And I thought about, so he's putting together this story about this woman who's a devoted mama, afraid of their child's got this real problem. He wants to throw this demon out. And then he puts it with this mute, deaf man whose friends brought him. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? And I'm looking, I'm thinking, so two things stuck out in my mind. First one, so was Jesus spit? We don't often think about Jesus spitting on the ground, do we, or spitting on his hands or on his fingers or anything like that. But you know, in the Greek culture, back in the Greek culture, they thought the spittle of a famous person had real magical healing powers. So maybe Jesus was trying his best to associate, to be recognized with the people that were there. I know my kids always thought my spit had magical healing powers. I bet you thought your moms did too. How many times did your mother spit on a tissue or on her fingers and wipe a smudge off your face? Am I the only one here that did that? I don't think so. So spit's got some real good healing stuff, don't it? It was kind of interesting that Jesus would spit. Did that happen to do anything with the miracle? Did he really need to spit? No, he just did it so he could identify with the crowd that he was with. But the really important thing, I think, was when he said, Ephphatha. That's an Aramaic use of the word for, and Mark writes it for us, it means to be opened. What does it really mean? What was he talking about? Ephphatha, be opened. Jesus didn't need to say any words. He didn't say that when the demon left the little girl from the Phoenician woman's daughter there, did he? So what is the purpose of Jesus saying, Ephphatha, be opened? The more I thought about it, he was really teaching us to be open to God's wisdom, wasn't he? Ephphatha, be open to the wisdom of God. Ephphatha, be open to the Spirit moving in this room, guiding us in everything that we do, as a church, as a family. Ephphatha, we can't be exclusive in everything we do. Think how we try to hold ourselves to different standards and everything. We talked about actually in Sunday school this morning how different denominations have different men's rules or different rules for women or how they conduct their services. Aren't we all of one spirit? And shouldn't we all be saying, Ephphatha, be open to the Holy Spirit and how he guides us in all that we do. Ephphatha. Be open. So many times our minds are closed. We don't open the doors. We keep slamming the doors behind us. We don't open doors to the new opportunities that God presents to us, maybe to the opportunities where we meet in life. Sometimes we're offended because of how people speak to us or how we're greeted. We need to find a way to get past that. When I think about that, I think about David. Every time, the first time I see David, we get together, it's usually he greets me with an old insult. He'll say, "Hi there, uglier than me. You're not prettier than me, David." Or sometimes, you ever go to a door where you're late getting to somebody's house or something, and they open the door to say, "It's about time you got here." Did they mean to offend you? It's just playful banter, is that we both, and we all know what it means, that I can't wait to see you, I'm glad to see you, I'm glad you're healthy and well and could be with us. This is what happened to the Phoenician woman when Jesus greeted her. It was just playful banter. They knew exactly what was going to happen, and they were glad to see her. We think about this. We need to be open to other people's attitudes and the way they speak to us. Maybe sometimes we have a tendency to jump to conclusions. because we're not opened. And we need to be reminded by Jesus when he said, Ephata, be open. Let's be open to the Spirit today. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for how you provide for each and every one of us. Help us in our lives, especially as we leave here today, to be opened. Remind us, Ephata, be open to opportunities that you give us, an opportunity to become who you would wish us to be, so we might do the will in our lives. Do all things, Jesus. And Father, today as we come to your communion table, I pray that all of us will be opened to your Spirit dwelling in us. Guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.